The matter of Carl McGee?
Your Honor, this is a contested matter. I believe it's been booked in for 2 hours. I'm not sure as to the reasoning of the 2 hours. There is just the one charge of bill posting and only one witness that the prosecution intend to call.
Yeah.
I believe it's a unique case in that the accused concedes all information relating to the offence and that the offence is complete. It's just the reasoning as to why it occurred with human rights, Your Honour.
I'll just log in. You're Carl McGee?
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. McGee, first of all, I just want to find out, is it your intention to plead guilty or not guilty to the charge?
Not guilty.
Okay. Well, I think as much as I'm being told that the informant, that all facts are agreed, I'd still want to hear the facts from the informant and
yes,
leave the informant to be cross-examined and take it from there.
Yes, Your Honour.
Mr. McGee, do you you have one witness?
Yes, Your Honour.
Mr. McGee, do you have any other witnesses apart
from
yourself?
Just myself.
Okay. All right. If you dispute any of the evidence that's given by the witness, you have the opportunity to ask that witness questions and put an alternative version of facts. I think I'm reading between the lines what the informants or the prosecutor said at the beginning, that you're saying on a question of law, which is fine.
That's true.
You can't put questions of law to the witness. You can only put questions relating to the facts.
Of course. And I have no question to the facts as they were put in the statement. The only thing that I could possibly disagree with is the rendering of my statement, but you know, that's not really that important.
Yeah, all right. Would you have any objection to the informant, if that's the case, he's a male informant, is Patrick Shane Wallace, reading from the statement?
No.
Because there's a power in the Evidence Act to do so.
Sure.
So perhaps if you, you call the informant and he can read from the statement.
Yes,
and
sure.
I'll assist Mr. McGee if I need to.
Do you want the prosecution call us for Shane Wallace?
Thank you.
I swear by Almighty God, the evidence I shall give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Your Honour, my full name is Shane Linton Wallace. I'm a constable of police, currently stationed at the Melbourne West Police Station. My registered number is 37276. I'm currently seconded to the Melbourne Crime Investigations Unit.
And constable, do you have a copy of your statement there?
Yes, I do.
Could you just read slowly from that?
Yes, sir. Yes. If you read it slowly, you're able to read.
So on the 14th of February 2013, I was performing divisional van duties in the Melbourne area in company with Constable Talisa Blackhall. Her registered number is 38341. At approximately 3:50 p.m, we received information from Police Communication Centre to attend the concourse of Southern Cross Railway Station at Spencer Street, Melbourne, regarding a mail bill posting. At approximately 3:54 p.m, we attended at the Southern Cross Railway Station. On our arrival to the concourse, I had a conversation with Security Supervisor Joseph Manner, who detailed his observations to me in relation to the male's actions at the station. So just to elaborate there, Mr. Manner basically told me that he'd asked the accused to stop bill posting, and he continued to do this behaviour.
And when you say bill posting, what do you mean?
He was using a paintbrush and with a sticky substance, and he was sticking black paper and political media protest signs to a Live Your Nice Tea sign.
And continue?
So then we've attended the Collins Street end of the concourse, where I observed a male using a paintbrush and sticking black pieces of paper and documents to an advertisement board. The male was wearing a sleeveless yellow fluoro vest, black shorts. I'll describe this male as approximately 180 centimetres tall, Caucasian, medium build, bald head. I now know this male to be the accused in the matter, Kyle McGee. I've then approached, and in the presence and hearing of Constable Blackhall, I had the following conversation with the accused.
And what was that conversation?
Hi, my name is Constable Shane Wallace, and this is Constable Blackhall. We're from the Melbourne West Police Station. Can you stop doing this? My full name is Constable Shane Wallace, and this is Constable Blackhall. We are from the Melbourne West Police Station. The accused replied, "You cannot stop me doing this." I said, "Can you please stop what you're doing? I want to speak to you." There was no reply from the accused. I said, "Can you please state your full name and date of birth?" The accused replied, "Carl McGee, 15/10/1983. I said, "Where are you currently living?" The accused replied, "Squatters' houses, slash abandoned houses." I said, "Do you have any identification?" The accused replied, "Yes." And at this stage, the accused produced a Victorian driver's licence number 058277184 with a record expiry of 16/10/2013, which was bearing a photograph of the accused. I also conducted the name check via police communication, which also confirmed his identity. I then had a further conversation with the accused. I said, "Kyle, I'm going to ask you some questions in relation to the offence of bill posting. Before continuing, I must inform you that you do not have to say or do anything, but anything you say or do may be given in evidence. Do you understand that?" The accused replied, "Yes." I said, "I've received a report from Southern Cross Security. You were asked to stop bill posting and you've continued to do this. I've then observed you bill posting and you've continued to do this." The accused replied, "I'm making a statement against corporate greed. I'm just going to keep on doing this." I said, "Why are you bill posting here today?" He said, "Political protest." I said, "What are you using to stick these documents to the advertising wall?" The accused replied, a flour and water paste. I said, what were the documents you were sticking to the advertisement wall? The accused replied, explain my objection to advertising. I said, has anyone given you permission to stick these documents to the advertising wall? The accused replied, apart from myself, nobody. I said, do you have any permits to do this? The accused replied, no. I said, do you know it's an offence to bill post? The accused replied, sorry, I'll start again. I said, do you know it's an offence to bill post? The accused replied, no. I said, did Southern Cross Security ask you to stop bill posting? The accused replied, yes. I said, what is your reason for bill posting? The accused replied, these advertising posters have an effect on democracy. I said, this matter will be reported and you may receive a summons. The accused replied, I'm going to keep doing it. I then took a photograph of the paintbrush and the bucket that was containing the paste.
And Constable, do you have that photo with you today?
Yes, I certainly do.
I'll just get you to have a look at the photo and just detail to the court what exactly is on that photo.
It's a red-handled paintbrush. It's in a bucket. It's a looks like a misty sort of paste, a clear bucket, and it was taken on the pavement.
Tender that, Your Honour.
Have you seen that, Mr. Gay?
Thank you.
With Exhibit A.
I then took two photographs of the advertisement wall.
I'll get you to have a look at one of them.
Yes.
Can you detail to the court what's on that photo?
Yes, it's a advertising. Sorry, it's a. It's a piece of paper that's detailing the effects on the advertising. Detailing it's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Without reading exactly what's on it, what type of writing is on there?
It's like it's typed up on a computer.
And whereabouts was that photo taken?
It was stuck to the actual advertising sign of the day.
I tend to that, Your Honour. And you said that there was another photo. You took two photos in relation to the wall. Can you detail to the court what's in the third photo?
So our last photo is actually the advertising wall. It contains black paper, contains a typed up version of his objection towards advertising. It's approximately 25 pieces of paper stuck to the wall.
You've seen that one as well.
Thank you.
Look, I'll put all the photos just in the one exhibit.
Yes, ma'am. Once you've taken the photos, what's happened then?
The accused has since left. And Constable Blackmore and I have attended the Southern Cross Security Control Room, where I viewed the CCTV. And I was unable to get a copy of this CCTV, just due to the fact that Southern Cross weren't really the most easiest people to deal with getting that footage. And then at 4:20, we've commenced resumed our patrol duties.
Are you aware of any, or what restitution has Southern Cross sought in relation to this?
I spoke to Southern Cross and they weren't. They didn't want any restitution. I tried to pursue cleaning costs. It costs to replace the board, and they said no, hosed off. They didn't want any restitution at all.
That's the evidence from this witness, Your Honour.
Do you have any questions you want to ask the witness?
Yeah, I have a couple.
You'll have to stand up, Mr. Kerr.
No problem. How long between the day of the alleged offending and you writing the statement was there?
If I refer to the date of my statement,
mate.
Your Honour.
Yeah.
Your Honour, there was no objection from the fact that the witness was reading
problem.
From the statement in relation to this one.
That'll be approximately 6 days after.
Yep, and you didn't have a recording device on the day?
No, I took contemporaneous notes, which is in the book here. That was taken at the time, and we called it a field interview where I ask you a question, write it down, give me a response. I also write that down at the time.
Yep. At what point did you produce the notebook and start taking notes? Was it immediately?
Well, it was when I first spoke to you up near the first billboard, at the time I spoke to you. And then I had a further conversation with the security, and then I've I've got the book out and started recording the actual field conversation.
Yeah, I remember that. That was at the entrance of the station, yeah. quite a bit later on in the piece. How certain are you that I said you cannot stop me from doing this as the first thing that I said when you came up to me?
I do remember that part. You did say you cannot stop me from doing this. And at the time, I mean, we have people bill posting in the city all the time. A lot of times people just pull it down and walk off. But when you said you can't stop me from doing this, I'm sitting there, just your demeanour at the time. And that's why I've had the conversation with you.
Yeah, could it have been my demeanour or just the fact that I didn't want to pull them down that made you think that my attitude was of that kind, that I may have said that?
Both, really.
Yeah, okay. The only other question I have is how accurately you copied down. When you asked for the reason for posting bills, what was the reason that you said I gave?
I'm going to keep doing it.
Huh. And how sure are you that that's what I said there?
I wrote it down at the time.
Yeah, okay. No further questions.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. McCann. All the explanations. Yes, thank you.
I was asking to imprint to be excused, John.
Yeah. Yes, you're excused, thanks. The prosecution case.
It is, right.
Charles Reed is accused at Melbourne on the 14th of December to post a document on a structure, namely an advertising board. Without the consent of the occupier. What is your evidence without consent of the occupier?
Your Honour, the constable gave evidence stating that the...
I appreciate that. You're not calling them to give evidence.
Your Honour, I was... as far as the summary case conference was concerned with the accused, the facts were conceded in relation to that matter.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair comment. Can I just see the informant go back in the witness box? I want to ask something.
Yes, sir. Sure.
And I'll allow you to ask questions arising out of this, Mr. McGee, if need be. It says namely an advertising board, and I've got photos. An advertising board's an advertising board.
Yes.
Upon what basis can anyone put something on an advertising board at Southern Cross from the information you'll provide by Southern Cross?
I believe they need permission to... They need permission by Southern Cross to be able to bill post within their station.
Okay. Anything arise out that, Mr. McKenna?
There's only one thing I'd like to do while having a look at this box.
Not on law, it's got to be on facts. But
This is a fact. I'm simply handing up my criminal record.
I didn't necessarily need to know that, Mr. McGee.
Yeah, well, I've decided to be 100% open about all of this, so that's what I'm doing. Would you agree that is my criminal record?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I tend those evidence.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. You can step down. All right. Mr. McKee, this is now your opportunity. There are a couple of options you have. One, you can go into the witness box and give evidence about the facts.
Yep.
Alternatively, you don't have to go into the witness box and give evidence about the facts. But you can't just stand there and say something about the facts.
Yep.
You can about the law.
Yep.
But you know, can't just stand there and say, well, I disagree with that fact and that fact. And
yep. My legal advisors have tried to make me understand this, and as unnatural as it is, I think I've got some grasp of it.
Yeah, okay. So, do you wish to go into the witness box or not?
Yes, I do.
Yep, okay.
Affirmation.
Repeat after me. I solemnly and sincerely.
I solemnly and sincerely.
Declare and affirm.
Declare and affirm.
That the evidence I shall give.
That the evidence I shall give.
Will be the truth.
Will be the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
You state your name.
Kyle Anthony McGee.
Address.
None at the moment.
And occupation.
None.
You can take the seat if you want to, Mr. McGee.
Yep.
Perhaps if you can just tell me about the 14th of February 2013.
Yep. The facts, the factual description of my actions I don't disagree with. I attended the station and covered some advertising boards, first in black paper to obscure all images and written messages on the advertising board, then affixed documents that explain the reasons for my objection to advertising. And it's not just the advertising that exists in public space, the home advertising that I covered, that I object to. It's also, yeah, the advertising that props up our for-profit media. And yeah, it details the implications, I believe, it has in the media, which are sort of anti-democratic and, well, psychologically
so
damaging.
Look, you're saying one, and you've been very open, you're saying, look, yes, I did do this.
Yep.
My reason for doing it was because it was, you're saying, it was a legitimate form of political protest.
Yeah, yep. That's correct.
And that you were aware that you weren't supposed, you couldn't do that.
I wasn't aware that I couldn't do it, no. I was pretty aware that the police would assume that I wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
And attending a public train station in the middle of the day, which I knew to be surveilled by security staff, I thought that there was a high chance of me being stopped by police, which leads me to think I would never have said, you cannot stop me, to a police officer. Obviously, I know they can.
Actually, we'll go just wind back a little bit. There was what's called a summary case conference in this, where you have discussions and work out what the issues are in dispute.
Yep.
And the reason I raised that question earlier was about the consent issue, and the prosecution have taken the view today that that wasn't an issue, that you knew it was without the consent of Southern Cross. What do you say about that? Because if they run this today on the basis that they understood that wasn't an issue, then I would probably let them reopen their case to call someone from Southern Cross to say there wasn't consent. I mean,
I guess I never even considered that element of the
Yeah, right. Yeah, I understand. So what you're saying is you might not have been aware of the need to obtain consent, which isn't a defence.
As the criminal record that I've handed up previously sort of details, I've had a few dealings with the law doing a similar protest, so I was aware that it would be said that I didn't have permission. But what I'm arguing is that the Human Rights Charter of Freedom of Expression does give me permission.
Separate issue. Right.
But yeah, I was fully aware that it would be alleged that I didn't have permission.
Okay. Now, when you were spoken to by the police, what's your recall of the conversation?
Well, it's months ago. I can't recall exactly what I said, but reading over the statements, I just sort of know that I would not have said that. I would not have said, you cannot stop me for the obvious reasons.
Do you have a memory of any of the conversation?
Yeah, of course. I remember the police officer approaching and him asking me what I was doing and me just, you know, saying what I was clearly doing, which is pasting over these advertisements, saying that it was a political protest. Then I probably went on to say that I was going to defend my actions with the Human Rights Charter, which the informant may have taken as me saying I had the permission to do this and the law can't stop me, which was not what I said.
So what you say, you're pasting over actual ads that were already there?
Yeah. I don't know if you've been to Southern Cross Station, but the way they do it is they have the whole station.
I've been there on a regular basis, but I tend not to read the advertising.
Yeah, a lot of people claim not to. They sell the whole station out to one advertiser, so there was lots and lots of Lipton advertisements all over the place. Yeah. I've covered a few of them.
Yep. Anything else you want to say about the facts at the moment?
I guess I haven't very well explained the political objection to advertising. Yeah. But it's pretty difficult to just do that off the cuff, and I don't know how important it is to the case as far as you're going to consider it.
No, I'm looking at the facts at the moment and then we'll deal with the law.
Yes.
So on the facts of that day, the explanation you've given for the behaviour is a relevant fact. I was doing it, there was a political objection to advertising, that's why I was doing what I was doing. That's fine. I then will have to deal with the law.
Yep.
Anything on the actual facts of that day?
I guess I could say that when I was doing what I was doing, the reaction from the public was largely just interest. A lot of people were watching and asking me what I was doing, why. I was able to tell them that it was a protest against advertising and the sort of media system that it props up, and I said, you know, you can read these posters. It also had the website, the address of my website up there, and a QR code for those with smartphones to go directly to the website, which is where I outline more of what I think and why I'm doing what I'm doing, which is an ongoing protest.
Okay.
And another reason I could give for my behaviour is that traditional methods of raising awareness of this issue, I believe, will be ineffective in this particular instance, given the cultural acceptance of advertising and the general view that people have that it's something that's beyond democratic control, when really I think it's precisely the issue that we should be looking at. And in a world where we have these developed democracies that are pretty much totally under the thumb of global capitalism, to have our media controlled by these same sorts of people and same sorts of organisations is what's pretty much madness.
That's the explanation anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you have any questions?
Yes, sir. Mr McGee, you were at Southern Cross Station, at the railway station on the 14th of February, that's correct.
Yes.
And with you, you had a bucket and paintbrush?
Yep.
And what was in the bucket?
It was flour and water glue.
And what was that for?
It was for pasting paper onto the advertisements.
And when you went to the railway, what else did you have with you?
Pretty much nothing. A backpack to carry the things, and that's it.
And you had black paper with you?
Oh, yeah.
And you had the pre-typed, prepared statements with you?
Yes.
And when you went to Southern Cross Station, you didn't go to the security office, did you?
No, I didn't.
And you didn't speak to anyone to ask them if it would be okay if you posted those bill posters there?
No, I didn't.
And when security approached you and asked you to stop, you didn't stop, did you?
No. I just said to them that it was a political protest, and I believe that as I was in public space, I had a right to do this, and they informed me that they were going to call the police, and I said, that's okay. I assume the police will stop me when they get here. And they didn't make too much of an effort to stop me. At one point, maybe it was Joseph Manu, the guy who made the statement, he did come over and start pulling the posters down, and at that point, I engaged him about why I was doing it,
saying that I thought advertising was a, you know, negative influence, particularly on children, and, you know, he ended up sort of understanding where I was coming from and stopping to pull the posters down, which didn't come across in his statement at all. He said at first he thought I was just some sort of, you know, graffiti type person trying to put my own thing up, but once he realised it was a political protest, he was much more tolerant. He just stood back and waited for the police to arrive.
And he told you he was calling the police, didn't he?
Yeah.
And who do you believe owns those advertising boards?
Well, I can't say I'm exactly sure. Ever since Southern Cross has been revamped, it's now in private hands. So I don't know which consortium owns it. I've got no idea how I found out.
The consortium didn't seek any permission in order to...
Well, I don't even know who they are, so no, I didn't. But the advertising boards are emblazoned with JC Deco, which is a multinational advertising company. So either the space is rented to them or they're given permission to place their property in the station.
No further questions, John.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. McGee, you can stand down. And that's the evidence you said to call?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. The law. You need to stand up and go through it.
Okay. Basically, I'm saying that this political expression falls under section 15.2 of the Charter, which is freedom of expression.
Yep.
There's a number of limitations that are imposed upon these expressions. That's in 15.3. The first of these sections are...
Well, you've got to appreciate that I haven't got the Charter in front of me at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, I was just trying to get the exact wording of...
So I want to be referred to the particular provisions because I'll be going away to look at the law.
Yeah, 15.3A is what I'm talking of.
Yeah.
Apparently. Just trying to find exactly... Which is... Special duties and responsibilities are attached to the right of freedom of expression, and the right may be subject to lawful restrictions reasonably necessary to respect the rights and reputations of other persons. Persons is defined in the Charter to mean a human being. However, there is a precedent relevant to this case, which is the case of McGee versus Delaney, where Justice Cairo ruled that what the Charter was actually trying to say there, where it referred to persons, was any non-natural legal entity. So with that in mind, you'd have to say that 3A is talking about respecting the rights and reputations of all legal personalities. And to that I would say that my expression doesn't impinge on any rights of anyone. The advertising company who owns the advertising board did not have their property damaged. And the company that owns the train station, I assume they have really no interest in the advertising apart from the rent that is paid to them. I guess that's basically it. That means that 3A doesn't really apply in this case. 3B is for the protection of national security, public order, public health or public morality. I'd say that national security, public health and public morality not brought into question by what I've done. I could even argue that public health or public morality could potentially be improved by the removal of corporate advertisements from public space and public media space as well. The only thing that could possibly be a limitation is public order. And what I go through in my submissions is a test in the case of Brooker, a New Zealand Supreme Court case where a number of justices talk about what constitutes a threat to public order. In their case, they're talking about a man singing, so it's an order
auditory expression, but they do say that it has to be an overtly manifested disturbance which constitutes an interference with the ordinary and customary use.
One of the problems is that I really should be... What's the citation for that? I should get a copy of that, which I can get anyway.
Yeah, the citation...
Do you have a citation?
Citation is Brooker versus the Police, 2007.
Yep.
New Zealand Supreme Court.
Yep.
30. Yep. And then it has 4th of May 2007 in brackets.
And it's Brooker or Hooker?
Brooker. B-R-O-O-K-E-R.
Yep.
And the justices sort of seem to come together on what they think is constitutes a threat to disorder. I don't know if you want me to go through them one by one here. Although, you know, they're...
To be quite honest, I think I've...
Yeah, to confirm or not.
The case is on this. Were you prepared for this?
Yes, Your Honour. I have a copy of the case law of McGee and Delaney for Your Honour, if you'd like a copy of that. Your Honour, it is a similar situation where McGee has damaged property by painting over a bus shelter outside the court, where it went to the Supreme Court, and a very similar argument.
So, Justice Emerson?
Justice Cairo.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that was my case.
Sorry?
That was me, the beginning of my case.
Okay, sorry.
So that's obviously why I attended my criminal record. It's not going to be a secret. So to go on from there, the definitions of a disturbance to public order as outlined in the case of Brooker, I'm not going to read them out unless you particularly want me to, that by that test, my conduct doesn't interfere with public order. I haven't prevented anyone from using the space normally. I haven't caused anxiety or disturbance to anyone. Basically, there was no complaint by the public to the security staff or the police. The only thing I noticed from the public was interest, and one girl even gave me a high five, which was unusual. The other threat to public order that could be alleged is if it was said that my action impinged on somebody's property rights, therefore that being something we can't allow to be protected under freedom of expression, just for public policy considerations or for public order. To that I'd say that I haven't impinged on any property rights, causing no damage. And as I've been charged with posting bills and the brief does not mention damage at any point, I submit that prosecution also does not believe that any damage was caused. If they do seek to allege that damage has been caused, the decimony principle is something that I would invoke there to say that, arguing that the court cannot take that into account, because if it is proven that, or attempted to be proven, that I have in fact caused damage, then that makes me liable to be charged with a more serious charge, which I was not charged with. So, in light of there being no damage caused, and those other considerations, and so there's no threat to public order either. Another important part of Cairo's decision in McGee versus Delaney was that the initial reason that he gave for rejecting the appeal was on public policy considerations, again centering around the concept of damage. In that case, I was being charged with criminal damage for applying water-based paint to a Perspex advertising shell, even though in that case it was hosed off with a pressure hose with minimum cost and inconvenience to the advertising company. It was ruled that was damage just by virtue of the charge and me being found guilty of it. Kind of lost my train of thought, sorry.
You talk about the distinction between the 2012 Supreme Court matter.
Yeah, that's right. So the public policy considerations that he had there were centred around damage. In this case, I submit that there has been no damage. So the public policy consideration, that expression can never be protected where it involves an element of damage to a third party property, is not relevant in this case. And that flows through, the lack of damage flows through to the considerations contained in the charter itself.
Yep.
Yeah, so all this is outlined much more articulately in the submissions. And from then on...
Are those submissions you prepare?
Yeah. I've done them with the help of previous submissions prepared by a lawyer who...
Were you intending to hand those up, or
have
you given them to the prosecution?
No, I haven't.
Should be given to the prosecution.
I was unaware of that.
No, that's right.
I'll give them this copy here. I was told that submissions came after evidence, so I guess that would have been after I got out of that box. Sorry about that. I'll hand up with the submissions a copy of the posters that were affixed to the advertising hoarding.
I don't have a problem with that.
I've,
it doesn't.
This is similar information that was posted on there.
It's just more complete in the photos. There's only one.
Look, I think what happens now is this: you prepared some written submissions, which are pretty much putting your case.
Yeah.
Ordinarily. Both parties have an opportunity to consider the written submissions and then come later on and argue it.
Yep.
And I think that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen today.
Yeah, I assume.
And we'll be picking a day where I will read McGee, I will read, have a look at the New Zealand case you refer to, I'll have a look at your submissions, the prosecutor will look at those, and then we'll come back.
Yeah,
that's
the one...
have to do it.
Yeah, there is one case that I've neglected to mention. In the
written submissions?
No, just about the submissions. It's not evidence, it's about law. The Ramsden case in Canada is of a lot of relevance and used in the submissions. It's a case where a man was postering about his upcoming band performance, and council bylaw said that no postering was allowed. He challenged that to the Supreme Court of Canada, saying that it was an infringement on his human rights. They ended up ruling in his favour, saying that it was an undue restriction, so there is a precedent for postering being protected expression.
But that's not referred to in your written submissions.
It is.
Aye.
Yeah, that's quite key. That's why I thought I'd just mention it.
Look, we're going to choose another day to come back here so I can read all this material, then I'll let each of you again speak to that.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll make my decision on that day.
No problem.
Right. So it's a matter of which day.
I'm in the court's hands, Your Honour.
Yeah. Any particular days that don't suit you, Mr. McGee?
I don't think there's any dates that I won't be able to come to.
But you put a fair bit of your case, Mr. McGee. You distinguish the Supreme Court decision on the question of the damage.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do it next week. can't do it the week after. The week after would be... potentially the 18th or 19th of September. Hold on. No, 18th. I'll just see if there's time on the 18th of September, which is a Wednesday. Find out whether there's a couple of hours on the 18th of September. That date suitable?
Yes. Yep. Your Honour, I assume that based on the fact that it's on submissions that the informant would not be required.
No. On the 18th of September. That's nothing. Kiss me. Yep. Is adjourning the matter part heard until the 18th of September at 10 a.m. If I could obtain a copy of those submissions, Mr. McGee, if I could have a copy of those.
Did I not already hand one?
Okay. Oh, sorry, that happened. Yeah. And then I'll give each of you an opportunity to still speak on that day, so I'll consider them all.
Great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you. You're free to go.
The matter of Kalal Al-Huli.